Blog Talk Radio.
You know I love you, right? Love you too. Ain't nobody got what we got.
No, no. What I've been with my baby.
Yes. Said built from the concrete, baby. Don't get no better than this.
Always had some good times, and through it all, you held me down, baby. You've always held it down. Oh yeah.
There were times when I was afraid and wanted you to leave, but you stayed right here by my side. You never let me go. You always stayed around.
Reality and relationships. So it must be Thursday night, 8 o'clock. How you doing tonight? Oh man, just something about that entrance song, and I really do like that song. I know we're waiting for my lovely wife to join us. Tiff, you there yet?
Of course I'm here. You know, it seems like I'm always just under the wire. I'm out of breath.
But that is my lovely wife. She is here with us. Hello, baby doll, since you're now settled in.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Oh, since you're settled in, doll.
I can't hear you.
I said, say hello since you're settled in.
Hey, guys. You know what? I'm going to get it together. I'm going to get it together. We're on the air, aren't we?
Yes, we are. And I'm wondering what you're doing. Anyway. Guys,
I'm fiddling around.
Thank you for tuning in while my wife gets it together. We have an interesting show today. Covering a very touchy subject. Not so much a touchy subject, but a subject that is common. But we're going to talk about it all the way. We'll discuss what the subject is going to be later on. But as we do every week, we're going to catch up on how things was for this week. So, my love, are you situated now?
Yes, I'm situated now.
Thank you. You mind telling us how your week went this week?
My week went interesting. My weeks are always interesting because I'm always doing so much and I have so much on my plate. I need to start wiping some stuff off or getting some stuff together. But let's see. Actually, this past weekend, I spent with the Lady Doves, and we're working on the Young Gifted and Talented Showcase that's coming up on April 14th at Occasions Banquet Hall. So for the past 3 years, this is actually my fourth year, I have volunteered with the Lady Doves as the model coach for the models. And they range in age from, oh my goodness, from, we used to have as young as 2 years old until up to maybe 24, 25. And I was working with them this weekend, and I had a great time. They are a lot of fun to be around. They keep me young. But this week also was part of Passover week. The end of Passover was yesterday. So a lot of my colleagues came back to work today. Some didn't come back, and that can make things a little bit hectic as well when you spend most of the week without all of your coworkers and then have to catch up on a lot of things. But how was your week, honey?
Well, it was back to school on Wednesday, but actually this is not the greatest week in the world. I mean, I had to finally make a decision, a business decision, to move forward with some legal steps that I was reluctant to take, and I said, you know, I had to think about it, I had to pray about it. Then I decided, you know what, business-wise, some things have to be done, so it looks like I had to make a move to file a couple of cases for small claims court. So it looks like I'm going to now have to go to small claims court to take care of some past business. But I need to close the door on some bad deals that were made so I can move forward. And so, you know, that started the Monday off in a way that I didn't really like. But it was back to school after the spring break. So that was always, it's always exciting when you return back to work and you haven't seen the kids for almost 2 weeks. So it just signals to me that 3 months from now, school year is done. And just happy to make year number 15 with the Department of Education. So it's been a very interesting year, to say the least, especially when this time last year I was still on a leave of absence, debating whether I was even going to go back to teaching. So it's been a real interesting spring break, a real interesting week. And my son told me some good news that he's found a job. So now he ain't got to hit me up for no more bread. He can go do his thing.
I'm going to get a loan.
I don't know if he's going to lend you any money. And it's funny that you just mentioned loans. Well, I'm going to say this because I was going to mention on the air. Anybody that has been paying attention to my Facebook page, I put it out there, and I thought about it, and I'm not normally a person that will go to the internet to try to do personal things, because I think sometimes we live in a society where people will try to milk any opportunity that they can to make money from other people, and so many negative things happen that it makes people a little reluctant in trying to support other people. But I made the commitment that I was going to do what I can to get you to Atlanta. And so I put it out there on Facebook, and I requested from everybody on my Facebook page to send me $1 or $2 so I can raise enough money between now over the next 19 days, including today, to get you to Atlanta so you can compete in the pageant that you have been dreaming about competing in. And so far, people have responded. I'm not going to put out totals because I think that's any amount is a blessing. And so I'm not going to put out totals. I'm just going to say I have been relatively shocked by the number of people who have responded and who have offered support. And if you'd like to support my drive, which is to help get my wife to Atlanta, let's get Tiffany to Atlanta fund, if you want to say that. If you go to our blog, our makingmarriagecoolagain.blogspot.com, there's a donation button there. And all we're asking for is a dollar, $2. Anything that you want to give is up to you. We're only asking for a dollar, $2. I feel like I know enough people that if they all just gave a dollar, $2, we'd be able to reach the goal of what we're trying to do. And I'm still trying to figure out a way, what I can give back, what I can do. But it's something that I put into motion. And it's funny, I sat here the other night and really contemplated whether I should go this route or not. And I was wondering how it was going to make me look. I wondered if people was going to, you know, it was going to make me seem negative. And then I said, you know what, they say a closed mouth doesn't get fed. So I said, I'm just going to put it out into the world. I'm going to put it into existence, pray about it, and leave it alone. And see what happens, and whatever comes back, if it's meant to be, is it meant to be. And so we got 19 days, 18 after tonight, to reach that goal. There's actually 20 days, but I had to leave 2 days. So if I can't make it, then I have 2 days to be able to return everybody's money to them in more than enough time. So that's what my week has been. And, oh, also, I'm sorry. Hold on 1 second, babe. Anybody, because I know a couple people do not like using the internet when it comes to sending money. So if you'd like to send a physical donation, check, or money order, whatever, you can make it to Braven Publishing, care of K.L. Belvin, and you can send it to P.O. Box 340317 at Rochdale, which is R-O-C-H-D-A-L-E, Rochdale Village, New York, 11434. So that's Braven Publishing, care of K.L. Belvin, P.O. Box 340317, Rochdale, as some people say it, but Rochdale, R-O-C-H-D-A-L-E, Rochdale Village, New York, 11434, and any amount, but, you know, all we're asking for is a dollar, $2. We're not asking people to overextend themselves. We know these are very difficult times, and it was hard enough to even ask people to support. I'm not going to try to put a set number out there and try to dig into anybody's pockets any more than what I'm asking for. So I appreciate, and it's a blessing to everyone that has helped us. So I just want to say thank you publicly to everyone that has sent us some type of help. God bless all of you.
Are you finished?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, I wanted to say I had no idea KL was doing this. I actually went to bed sad thinking that all the efforts that I had put in this past year were going to fall. And I didn't know how it was going to be done. But I have to thank everyone that reached out, including people that don't even know me. They only know me through Facebook, friends, colleagues, former colleagues. I'm getting so much love and so many messages, inboxes, and emails, and I greatly, greatly appreciate it because it definitely means a lot because I've been working on this. And sometimes people think, oh, pageants are just about women showing up to look cute and put on crowns and get dressed up, but it means a lot more than that to us pageant queens. It's about not just networking, but working with women who have similar aspirations, similar goals, who are also working to help other people. Like I mentioned before, my platform is the Lady Doves, which is the organization, the nonprofit that I'm volunteering with. And I work with young people through that organization within my community to help build and rebuild relationships within the community. So the pageant is just an extension of what I'm doing. And I greatly appreciate everyone's effort. And like KL said, no amount is too small. And I thank you guys very much from the bottom of my heart.
There you go. So, let me see. Oh, also, if anybody wants to join, let me get this right. If you're listening from your computer, we appreciate it. And if you're listening from your phone, remember that you can press the number 1 if you want to speak to the host and get in to speak to Tiff and I tonight. Also, we have our chat room is open. The chat room information is available on all 3 of our websites, author KL Belvin on Facebook, Raven Publishing on Facebook, and Making Marriage Cool Again on Facebook. But I will give it to you tonight with that long, ridiculous number, so please pay attention if you want to join the chat room. Let's see. Oh, my computer is moving so slow right now. But it is chatsy.com. That is where we're at. It is chatsy, C-H-A-T-Z-Y, chatsy.com. And the room is /3862-1963-94-78-94. And the password is GQ Palace, all one word. Now, let me give you that again. It is chatsy.com/3862-1963-94-78-94. I'm man in the chat rooms, and so if you want to pop in and say hello, feel free. I'm here. If you want to have any questions, we're here to answer. And again, we would love to hear from you, so call in. The call-in number is 646-200-3838. Just hit the number 1 on your phone, and the host will take the information, and you can get in to talk to us. So, what is going on in the news today? You know, that's not our normal thing. What's going on in the news today? Because I know what I want to talk about in the news today, but
I think what you want to talk about, everybody wants to talk about. But before we get to that, I wanted to mention, because I came across an article about a high school in Georgia, in Wilcox County,
okay,
which is having their first student-organized integrated prom.
Student-organized integrated prom. So, meaning what?
Well, basically, the high school was integrated. Of course, some time ago when they first started integrating the white high schools and allowing black students to attend. But what happened is when the high school was integrated, I don't want to say the name of the high school, but when it was first integrated, that was the last time that they had a student-organized prom. And the parents started paying separately. So you had the white students, their parents paid separately for their prom, and the black students had their own prom, and their parents paid for their prom. Now, the problem came...
Hold on. So once the school became integrated.
Yes.
What year?
It did not give the year, but I'm assuming it was, you know, back during segregation.
So it would be 50s or 60s. So
yes.
Since 1950s or 60s, the school has never had a prom where everyone's come together. Whites pay for their prom, blacks pay for their prom.
That's correct.
Were blacks allowed to go to the white prom? Well, obviously, because they'd be breaking the law if they said no.
Well, over the years, they just stuck with tradition. They went to their separate proms. This is the first integrated prom. So basically what happened is last year, the queen of homecoming happened to be black. That was voted for. And the king was white, who was voted for. He went to his prom, and she went to her prom. They
but
took
they
separate
go, yeah.
pictures, but they didn't go together. They took separate pictures.
Black queen, white king.
Black queen, white king.
Sound like candle.
And basically, they thought it was ridiculous that here was supposed to be one of the most important times of the year, the prom and homecoming and, you know, basically a rites of passage. Here they were taking pictures at separate events and no pictures together, and they decided they wanted to bring an end to this. So they just made the decision to have their first student-organized integrated prom, which is they raised money. They actually raised $1,000, and they put up flyers, and there's some opposition to it, of course. People don't want to break tradition, and every time they put up flyers, people tear them down. But I think it's such a great idea that, and I'm surprised that we're in 2013. I'm surprised that it hasn't already been done, that somebody can wake up 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 5 years ago, and say, you know what, this is stupid. Why are we having two separate proms? But this year will be the first year that they, on April 27th, will have the first integrated prom. And they've actually sold 50 tickets so far.
Yeah, that's because recession. Cash is broke. So they're like, yo, you're going to go to the prom with the white kids, and you're going to enjoy it. And that's because Justin Bieber is liked by both. As well as, what's my man that got the hot new song, my suit, or like suit and tie?
Justin Timberlake.
So you could play Caucasian Cat and the blacks and white people like it, and Jay-Z is like my white and black, so you good right now. So music,
but you
right
know what's
now
funny?
Is funny.
Music is universal. So it's to me, the music that we listen to today, you see everybody from all ethnicities bopping their head to it. Come on.
For the most part. I'm just saying it's such that I just don't understand how in this day and age how folks are still okay with stuff like that. I just don't get it. How you get away with it. But it is what it is. I don't came up in South Jersey where I didn't even know racial situation was in place until I got to New York. I mean, we went to white dances, black dances, whatever. You know, white guys, they'd be like, well, you've been out in South Jersey with me. You see how it is in South Jersey and Delaware. It's like the squirrel capital of the world, man.
Right.
So none of that really matters. And that's how it was coming up. And then when I came to New York, is when I really got to see racism firsthand, where folks kind of did their thing. But, you know, me personally, if you're cool with somebody and they're cool with you, I don't see how the race thing can play that much a factor unless someone is purposely trying to come at you in a negative way because of racial situation. Then I have an issue. But, you know, listen, we live in a country where as much as things change, people fight for them the same. So nothing ever shocks me anymore.
One thing I like about living in New York is its diversity. I know I complain about New York a lot because it's expensive and it's overcrowded, but you can go 30 minutes in any direction and be in a total, like, you travel to a different country. We have places where you can pick up Indian food, Chinese food. It's so much you can do here when it comes to culture, that I can't understand how people are still so closed-minded to think, because you're different, I don't like you. Instead of learning from those differences and appreciating those differences, that's what makes us who we are. So
people like what they like. Some people don't want to come out their comfort zone just for the sake of integration or just for the sake of dealing with folks. I mean, that's one of the beauties and curses of New York, is that you have pockets of folks from like every culture in the world, they say, from every culture in the world here in New York. So you have blocks of folks who are a particular persuasion who don't like other persuasions, and they like it like that. Now, those are also the places where you would go to find those restaurants from countries that you may never get a chance to travel to, but you get a chance to sample the food and even can actually explore some of the things that culture has to offer in those communities. But some of those communities are very tight-knit in terms of they'll let you come and visit, they'll let you come and shop, but they don't want you to come and live. And these are the things that happen. So, I mean, people are going to be funny like that, and I definitely have seen it when we travel, because when I traveled abroad, you see some of the same things. Well, people are what they are. So what else is going on in the news dealing with us?
I came across another article with Jada Pinkett Smith, and I have to say, I have loved Jada Pinkett Smith ever since she was in, what was the name of that show, honey? A Different World? Yes, A Different World. And I just think she was so adorable, so cute, like a little doll, and a good actress at that. I came across an article where she talked about the rumors with her husband, Will Smith, and having an open marriage. Because we've all heard it, they have an open marriage, they can see whoever they want to, and she actually put those rumors to rest. And I can understand where people misconstrued and manipulated what she said, because I kind of, well, basically what she said is the rumors that she has an open marriage are totally false. What she did say, and I'll read it, I think people get that idea because Will and I are very relaxed with one another, and I think because from how I've answered questions about how she deals with other women when it comes to being married to a superstar. Well, the funny thing is, I'm married to someone that's not a superstar. I'm not trying to, you know, dish you anything, honey. But you're not on Will Smith's level. But we still deal with women who flirt with you, women who find you attractive.
Did you just say I'm not on Will Smith's level?
You're not on Will Smith's level.
I don't have any money. They just don't know. You know what? Don't even, you know what? I'll let that rock. Go ahead.
But
I don't have this.
You're not a multimillionaire. You're not complete, like, in a spotlight where the paparazzi is running after you with cameras and chasing you down in your car. But you do have.
Yes. I got you. Go ahead.
You do have women who are attracted to you because my husband's attractive, I have to say so. And my husband does flirt. And I don't have a problem with that, per se. And
what?
I can understand. I don't have a problem with you flirting.
They flirt with me. It's not my fault. I can't help it.
So I understand where Jada's coming from. Now, she's also going to say, I've always told Will, you can do whatever you want as long as you can look at yourself in the mirror and be okay. Because at the end of the day, Will is his own man. And KL and I have dealt with that because I've had people ask me, oh, Tiffany, you let KL do blah, blah, blah. Right. And that's exactly the way I respond. You can't let your partner, whether male or female, do anything. They are grown men or grown women. They are going to do exactly what they want to do. And it's not a matter of I don't tolerate. It's a mutual respect that KL and I have for each other. Now, he's not going to be googly-eyed at a woman and salivating at the mouth as she's walking by out of respect for me. But I can tell when my husband sees someone that he might find attractive, and I don't have a problem with that. I'm not the only woman walking on this earth. So I understand where Jada's coming from.
I don't look at other women. I don't look at other women. I don't look at other women.
You know what? I can't believe you. I sit here and tell that lie.
Okay. I don't look at them that long, though.
Like I said, you're not googly-eyed at them, but you may glance. And there are times that I'll say to my husband when I see an attractive female or a female with a nice body, I say, oh, honey, did you see her? She is really good-looking. She's fierce. And, of course, he'll look. I don't have a problem with that. So I understand exactly what Jada's saying.
Hold on. I just want to answer those people who are mumbling under their breath. But does he allow her to look at handsome men? Yes. He just can't say it. No, I'm just joking. No, I don't have a problem with it because I get a kick out of it when dudes come over and they be like, how you doing? I'm like, they think I'm like her pops or whatever because we all have an age difference of about 9 years. And I get a kick out of it because I'm like, man, they just discount a brother sitting here. So they just going to try to get their rap on. So I kind of let them dig the hole before I throw the dirt in on them. But no, I don't have an issue with it simply because I'm comfortable with who I am. I'm comfortable. And also, I like to see Tiff shut dudes down. So I play my spot on purpose. I play my distance on purpose and watch Tiff basically blow dudes up who are trying to get their talk on. And that's part of the trust that we have for each other, too, because I don't have to worry about her and how she handles situations. It is what it is. I think that's another thing that folks need to understand, too, that, you know, flirting or anything like that really speaks to the trust inside the relationship of do both of you know where that line is drawn and won't cross that to be disrespectful. I know where the line of disrespect is for us. Other people like to project their line of disrespect on us. Girl, I could never, I would never, man, let me tell you something, bro, I would never, well, you're not me, and you're not her. So
very
sit back
true.
And watch how we do it.
Very true.
But with Jada and Will, I can't say too much only because I'm not exactly sure what their relationship is. I do believe that they have an incredible fondness for each other. But I've also realized that sometimes when...
They've been together for 16 years. I mean,
but they've also been the media eye that whole time, too. And the only thing is, I think you do learn when you're in any type of given situation where one wrong step could cost you so much, you learn how to adapt to the things that's going to be necessary to make it. I just think a lot of these rumors that we read about are not coming from folks who don't have access. So when you hear so many folks who have access to certain things, certain characteristics, certain parties, certain whatever, and you hear certain things, I'm always a little easy with before I discount it, because how many folks have said, I never, I would never, no, I didn't, and then after it comes out, okay, I did, but I had a problem. Okay, I did, but I was going through something. Okay, I did, but I'm a sex addict. Okay, whatever. And so I'm always a little cautious because there's just too many things on both sides, and alternative lifestyles are still not as readily acceptable, even though they are acceptable in many walks of life on this planet and in this country. But in the entertainment business, it's still a little sketchy with folks who come out, folks who don't come out, folks who feel they've been forced out. And so it's still not as acceptable. And when you get to the superstar level that they're on, having been in the movies that they've been in, where now their kids are on that iconic level to a degree too, can you really come out and say that you have lifestyles that are not the norm? Could you actually come out and say that you're in an open marriage when the marriage is not something that's considered the norm? And so with that being the case, I know folks who will say and do anything to try to protect exactly what they have. So I'm reserving my opinion with that, only because I can say if they're happy with each other, be happy. They appear to be happy. Their children appear to be healthy and well-mannered. I'm with it. And for me, that's what's important in the whole thing. If it comes out later that they were both undercover super freaks, would I be shocked? Not at all. Not at all, because in today's day and age, listen.
I understand.
So before we go into my topic, because it is at the bottom of the hour, we're going to take a 2-song break, and then I'm going to come back, and I'm going to address one more thing in the news before we get into tonight's subject, because as a father, I would be, and as well, you know what, I'm going to hold off. We're going to discuss it thoroughly, and then we're going to get into tonight's subject. But we'll give you a little glimpse of tonight's subject. It is dealing with baby mama drama. And if you are a person who is in a relationship and your significant other has children with someone else, and that mama, and we'll actually put dads in that too, if the parent of those children don't know how to act and you're dealing with some things, we're going to talk about how we dealt with it, how we deal with it, and, you know, some of the things that I've gone through as a father of multiple children. And Tip has been that stepmother, if you want to use that term, but she's been that second mother, and what it's been like to get to this point of comfort where we are right now. And this is actually something that Ebony Magazine took us up on back in February of last year. They heard about how we dealt with things and the stuff that we were doing as a couple, and so they actually have featured us in Ebony Magazine of 2012. So if you don't have that as the Black Tales copy, run out and get it. You can see Tiff and I are there in Ebony. But we'll talk about all that when we come back. This is relationship and this is reality and relationship. Why did I get the name wrong every week?
I don't understand. Why you can't get it right?
And I'll tell you, I got like 17 shows running in my head. But this is reality and relationships. It's Thursday night. We're here every Thursday night from 8 to 10. That is my lovely pageant queen, Tiffany Braxton Belvin, and I am K.L. Belvin. We'll be back in 2 songs. Thank you for joining us. Welcome back to Reality and Relationships. Yo, that is my song, CeeLo Green.
You like that song?
Huh?
I said you like that song?
I love that song. I like the lyrics because it's just basically, you know, when you're in love, you become a fool at times. And I just listened to the lyrics this morning when I was in the car. And so I had to tell our DJ if you could find that for me. And so my man found it pretty quick. I thought it would be later on in the show. That's what I'm talking about. I'm a big lyrics fan. I guess as a poet and as an author, when I watch movies and when I listen to music, I like to really listen to it and pay attention to what's written or the written word that went into the song itself. And I just think the lyrics of that song is pretty good. So before we left, you're listening to Reality and Relationships on GQ Palace Radio every Thursday night from 8 to 10. If you're listening in on the call line, feel free to press 1 if you have anything that you want to offer to my wife and I. If you're listening from the computer, we appreciate it. And we have the chat room open. It is at Chatty. I'm not going to do those long numbers again today. So you have to go by one of our websites, Facebook, Arthur K.L. Belvin, Facebook, Braven Publishing, and Facebook, Making Marriage Cool Again. And all the chat room information is there. We'll gladly be there to answer any questions. But back to what we were talking about. I wanted to just bring to the table before we talk about the whole baby mama drama thing. I have to bring up the Rutgers situation. It seemed like Rutgers can't seem to get itself away from problems. From Don Imus years ago calling the Rutgers basketball team nappy-headed hoes, to Tyler Clemente committing suicide after the videotape was put out there, and they labeled that bullying, which it is a form of bullying. You know, I just think it was abuse more than bullying. But okay, they labeled it bullying because of what happened, and the man committed suicide over the videotape being exposed to him having a male lover, and that being exposed, put out there without his permission. But most recently, the coach at Rutgers University was caught on video, and it has been the talk for some time, the last couple of days, where back in November, a videotape was presented to the athletic director of Rutgers, showing this coach being very abusive to his players, calling them gay slurs, throwing basketballs at their heads, even raising his feet. Coach Rice is his name, raising his feet to the players and really just going way overboard in trying to get the best out of his players. Now, this struck me in many ways simply because I am a former coach. I am a father. I am a gigantic basketball fan. And I am a mentor of young men. And I knew he was going to be fired once the public attention came out, because actually ESPN 30 Outside the Lines, I'm not sure. I want to make sure I give him proper credit. They put out the show and actually showed everything that was going on. So I knew from the public outcry this man was going to be fired. Okay, fine. But the thing is, what people don't realize, this goes on often, and these coaches are allowed to get away with it because a lot of these young men, mostly men of color, are so worried about their scholarships that they're not going to say anything back. And often they're told, just suck it up, just deal with it, because they're paying for you to go to school.
But, you know, that was the reaction of some of the people listening, because KL and I was listening to talk radio the other day, and that was some of the reaction of the callers. They've been on teams, and they've dealt with it. It's really not that big of a deal. That's tradition. And I'm thinking, okay, but it's still abuse. So you were traditionally abused.
It happens. I mean, it
happens.
That
doesn't make it acceptable.
No. I'm not saying it's acceptable. By no means it's acceptable. It happens because...
But some people that were calling in seem to think that it was acceptable because that's what's happened all these years.
Yes. But you know what it is? But here's the thing that got me, that really made me say, well, I want to talk about this this week. I knew the coach was going to get fired. I feel the athletic director and the president should be fired, simply because if you saw the videotape and you thought that 3 days suspension and a $50,000 fine was the only penalty that should come from that type of abuse, well, you got problems inside your head, especially when you're on a campus, a national campus, state campus of New Jersey, that has already had these type of homosexual issues as well as racial issues. So that's white man getting on black players and then other players, that's the racial issue. Man using gay slurs, there's a homosexual issue. So with a person that just seems so oblivious of it, okay, I knew he's going to be fine. But the athletic director, it was said that the president and the trustees were going to be somewhat lenient with him because he orchestrated the deal for them to move out of the Big East Conference, which is the conference that they're in, to the Big Ten Conference, which also came with them, I think, raking in $1 million or whatever it is, as well as moving to a bigger conference where they're going to be able to make even more money. So because he was able to broker this deal, it was acceptable for him to drop the ball with this coach, because this is just ridiculous. And it's just more of the reason that when folks say that college sports is nothing but modern-day slavery, they give credence to it. Because these players, when, like you just saw last week, the player from Louisville who broke his leg sticking through, bone sticking through his leg. If he's unable to come back to play ball, he'll be sent home. No money, no education. So these kids can't buy a slice of pizza, and it's considered an NCAA violation, but yet a coach can do these type of things and only be suspended 3 days, 3 games. And if next, right, he can go to the next school and start coaching immediately, whereas if a kid transfers, he has to sit for a whole year before he can. He loses a year of eligibility simply because. So there's just something wrong with the system. And I'm so glad that it's got exposed. And I hope everybody gets fired. Not that I root for people to lose jobs, but I hope the president and the athletic director both lose their jobs, because abuse is abuse. And it can never be accepted. Never. And that's just my thought on that, because I'm not going to go into it too long simply because we do have another topic tonight. But I just feel like something has to be done, and I'm going to pay attention to this, and I really do hope that more comes from this. They've already let the coach go, but I'm really hoping that they let the athletic director go, even though I don't think they will. But I really would like to see the athletic director go, simply because. That's just me.
Hey. So, I think her.
Baby mama drama.
You know, the topic shouldn't be baby mama drama. I think you're being biased, because there could be some baby daddy drama also.
Without question. But actually, that's the theme of tonight. When significant other parents create a problem within your relationship. So let's diagram this first. If you and your significant other, one has children, and there's another parent involved, father or mother, and they are creating or attempting to create drama in your relationship through the kids, around the kids, about the kids, whatever. These are the things that we want to talk about tonight. Now, if you want to call in and discuss your own baby mama drama, I'm going to tell you right now, please keep it brief. I don't want the whole breakdown of how y'all met in college and when y'all had your first kid. Let's just get to the drama. Let's talk about it, simply because every situation is different. And every situation, there's some type of antagonist to the whole situation. And not everybody is as innocent as they seem, and not everybody is as negative or as guilty as they seem. But then there are a few cases where some folks is just nasty.
Definitely.
So we are here to talk about it. But first, let me discuss my own situation. And then Tiff is there on the line. So if you in any shock or don't believe it, she would definitely stop me if I was embellishing any more than I need to. First of all, if y'all have not read From Gigolo to Jesus, yes, shameless plug Thursday. If you have not read From Gigolo to Jesus, I put my information out about my children because of the lifestyle that I had when I was younger, or before I reclaimed my faith. I was a person out that was a whore, a misogynistic whore who was out just creating babies because I didn't know any better. And I have to say, now that I'm older, I can say I really didn't care. And so I have 6 children with 5 different women. So I know a little something. that we know of. Listen, yeah, there might be a couple out there holding out to wait to see if I get the Will Smith level and then show up. But they can't wait too long.
Hit the lottery.
Well, you and I have been together now 12 years, 13 years.
13
years. So if they wait too long, child will be 21. They ain't going to get nothing. So, but no, I have 6 children with 5 different women. Oldest is
29.
Oldest is 29. Youngest is 13. And so it has not been a smooth ride with their mothers. In Jonathan's case, we did not know about each other for 26 years, and we met via Facebook. Now, the mother and I had no beef with each other. She just didn't tell me I had a child. Now, I could have handled that in a very negative way. I chose not to. I chose that at this point, it wasn't going to make the situation with my newfound son any better. We'd already been apart 26 years. The best thing is to go forward and try to learn as much as we can from each other, share with each other, and our relationship is steady growing. We have a fairly
decent
relationship.
And we actually live in the house together now. Imagine that. We all live under one happy roof.
Well, I'll say we all live under one roof. I don't know such thing as happy. I'm not even going to ask. That applause is for living under the same roof. I ain't going to say happy. Sorry, I can't. But anyway, so, and then also I have my daughter. My daughter, Kara, is 22, going to be 23 this year. And our relationship, unfortunately, is one that has not mended itself completely. We don't really have any conversation with each other. If y'all do not remember, back in 2007, my daughter was one of the young ladies that was on TV assaulting a man on the A-train in Brooklyn.
She went
viral.
I was
the father. She was wild. And I was the father that turned her in to the police. And so you might have seen me on CNN and said, wait a minute, I thought that guy looked just like KL. Yeah, that was me on CNN and on the local news. But it is what it is. We've apologized to each other. We've attempted to speak, but we really don't speak. And I can understand that. And that's her choice. She's an adult. I don't force it. She knows I'm here. And anytime that she wants to speak, fine. Now, her mother and I, that drama was when we were younger, was a lot of drama because her and I had completely different visions on how to raise a child. And not being an active father, I basically gave away my rights to have say-so, but the mother would call and say, you got to come do something. And that's one of the things I want to talk to any father that is not there in the child's life or you have a new relationship. You can't act like the mom doesn't exist when you want to have a relationship with your child. It's not going to work. You two have to find some type of mutual ground, some off-limit zone, whatever it's going to be, and you have to make it about the child. Often, if one parent is still seething over the relationship or is upset about something, male or female, they can start to put ink in the water, which can create a problem for the other parent as well as the new couple. Also, I would say this too. Don't go out and start a new relationship if you really don't have a relationship with your children. Try to mend that first. Don't bring somebody new into your life and ask them to have to deal with a lot of the drama that comes from an unstable relationship with the ex-significant other, the mother, the father, and the child. Because that's a lot for anybody to have to deal with. And it's really not fair because it's not their situation.
You know,
and
I have to say that as the significant other of the person with the children, you have to know when to stay in your lane. And a lot of the so-called drama, KL and I did not really have to deal with it because I knew when my input was needed, and I knew when it wasn't. And for the most part, only one time did I interject myself where I addressed one of the mothers. Most of anything
that
I had to do.
I forgot. Which one was that? Not so many.
that was the youngest one's mother.
Oh, yeah. yeah,
for the
most part, when
KL was dealing with different issues when it came to the mothers, and remember, is five. Anything that we discussed, we kept it with each other. I told him my opinions, how I felt. And let me tell you something. One thing I do not do is say, oh, this is my husband. I'm going to support him no matter if he's wrong. If my husband is wrong, I will tell him he is wrong. I will tell my husband to apologize when I think he needs to. So I'm not one of those women that just sit back and allow my husband to be wrong. But there was only one time that I needed to interject because I just thought, under the circumstances, Kale was dealing with some personal issues within the household, not my household, actually his family, and that needed to be addressed. And one of the mothers, to me, was just pushing things too far. And I gave her a call, and I was very pleasant, and I was very respectful. I let her know who I was, and I said, you know what, I need you. I understand the circumstances, but I need you to step back just a little bit and give us a little bit of time to deal with what we're dealing with, and then we'll be able to address what your concerns are. We're now on good terms. All of us are on good terms, and sometimes you have to do that. I know because I've heard stories about how the new girlfriend wants to tell the baby mama off because the baby mama is this, but we have to remember as women that these men that we are with chose these women. There's a reason why they chose them. So we can't immediately jump on the baby mama and always say she's wrong and we want to kick her butt and, you know, all type of drama that goes along. We have to know when our input is needed and how to actually, the most effective way to put ourselves in position so that there's good relations. We don't want it to be, because there's children involved, so we don't want it to be where everyone is at odds. We want to find some type of happy, euphoric means to get along.
Hold on one second, babe, because actually I want to add something to that, but we have Angie on the line. Angie, are you there? Hello? Angie, are you there?
You can hear me?
Hello?
I can hear her. Can you hear her, honey?
I can hear her. You can hear me?
Yeah,
hey,
I can hear
okay.
you.
How you doing, Angie?
He had the phone muted before.
Gotcha. How we doing tonight, Angie?
I'm doing good. How's everybody?
All right.
Man. Hanging in there, trying to do what we do.
Yeah, I hear that.
Okay. So you called in, Angie, so I know you got something to say. What's up?
Well, no, I'm really just listening, you know. Y'all making some valid points when it came to the relationships and the new guy, I mean, the guy or the person in a new relationship and children. A lot of times people get into new relationships with unresolved issues with the old one.
Yes, definitely.
A lot, you know, and unfortunately, most of the time kids are involved. And my thing is, whether you're moving on to a new relationship or not, don't forget about your children, because I went through that, right? The father didn't think he really, once me and him had no dealings, then he forget all about the kids. I shouldn't have to force him to be a parent to his child. You know what I'm saying? Just don't forget about your son. That's all, you know.
Well, that's a good point. But that's what I mean by having unresolved issues, and what I also mean about you need to take care of situations before you start the new relationship. And I'm not just speaking moving on to the new significant other. What I'm saying is men sometimes and often will, when they carve away moms, like you said, it'll be like, you know what, I'm not going to deal with that situation until I'm ready. But you can't do that to the children, and you can't just put them on hold because you're trying to get you right. And because I've experienced it, one of the things that I've learned is that the man, in the man's sense, and I'm just speaking when the woman has the children and the man is now starting a new relationship, you need to be as in control of yourself with your children and the baby mother, in terms of she needs to have a clue of what this relationship is going to be with the children so she can live her life.
Absolutely.
The kids can understand what role you now play that you're not together. And then now that if you do want to start a new relationship, the new person coming in will already see the dynamics in place And if you have an intelligent woman, will already understand where her role is with you. Because if that's said the wrong way, the children could be hurt in a way that you may not want, as well as you're not actually ending it. It's not actually over. You're kind of putting a Band-Aid on something because you keep ripping it away and it never gets a chance to heal. And so folks have to really, and I mean, she may not like it, but if I go, I'm going to see my kids every other weekend. What days during the week work for you? Okay, I'm going to get him those days. And if he's consistent with that, well, he did his part.
Exactly.
If she wants to hold on to anger or she's mad because now he's changed and he's doing better, that's on her. But if the man is at least setting the groundwork, the one thing she can't, and the one thing I got to give women credit, no matter how nasty, negative, even some of the, and I'm a school teacher, so Lord knows I deal with this on a regular basis. Even some of the worst women will say, he's a bastard, but at least he takes care of his kids. I don't like him, but he takes care of his kids.
Sometimes, and then, you know, what happens is sometimes the women start beating themselves down like, oh, God, I got to make better choices when it comes to men. But a lot of times when you start out in a relationship, it don't always end up like it started. You know what I'm saying? Most of the time.
Exactly. So, that's a good point. And you know what the thing is, when you guys started, if the kids weren't there when you guys started, the two of you might have just saw the whole world differently. And depending on how those kids were conceived, people don't like to be honest. Some children are mistakes. We love our children. But some of them were mistakes. They weren't planned on. So here we had to go to Tahiti, run around naked. Now we got a child.
Yep, exactly. But again, my thing is, it's like I said, if you're not in a relationship, that's fine. You can do that. But you're going to have to learn how to juggle that relationship and the relationship with your children as well.
Without question.
You still have to set some kind of example for the child, okay? You know, explain to them, like, all right, mommy and daddy's not together anymore or whatever, but I'm still going to be there for you. You know what I'm saying? I had to black out on my son's father like 2 weeks ago. Yeah, I was going, because I went on a trip. I was going on a trip, so 3 weeks prior to my trip, I told him I was going to need him to keep my son. I said, I'm going to need you to keep him because my mom had to work or whatever the case is. So, you know, so the day that he was supposed to pick my son up, he decided to go with his new girlfriend. This was all purpose night. His new girlfriend and go shopping or whatever. So I'm calling him like, you were supposed to take my son for the day. And he was like, oh, you never called me. You didn't call me yesterday. I said, we've been planning this for 3 weeks. What if I didn't need you to? I said, you know what? You're wrong. You're dead wrong. You know what I'm saying? I said, but I'm gonna calm myself down because I don't want to get all upset, get all out of character or whatever. But just know that you was wrong, and now that's changing things because now I can't trust you.
Now I put this
in my head that I really can't trust you now. You know what I'm saying? So
and now you're right.
Just because you and I are not in a relationship, I didn't, you know. That doesn't mean you can't be there for your son. I really don't ask him for money. He really don't have nothing. So, like I told him, time is worth more than money any day to me.
So, Angie, let me ask you a question, Angie. Since you did call in and you were gracious enough to share with us your situation, so let me ask you this question for any of the women or men that are listening. How would you have liked him at the beginning? Like, how long? Like when y'all separated?
Mm-hmm.
Did y'all sit down and talk about the separation, or were y'all just separated? And I'll explain to you why I'm asking that question once you answer.
Well, no, he had some issues to where we actually discussed the separation. So this is what I said to him. Right now, neither one of us are really in a position to be in a relationship because it's not healthy. You understand what I'm saying? This is the conversation now. So I said, listen, I'm willing to help you. He had a drug problem. That was the thing.
Okay.
All right. I said, I'm willing to help you if you want to get yourself on your feet. You know what I'm saying? I'll help you with programs and do all of that stuff on the strength of my son. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So, but you need to get yourself together, find you before you want to get yourself into a relationship with me or anybody else. He was like, all right, cool. So what he did, he just went and found another girlfriend.
Yeah, wow. Basically. Well, that's the reason why I ask, and this is, and the reason why I'm asking you, because I know Tiff and I can talk about it, but I love when people call in and we can discuss it with them, is that how much better would it have been if at the separation part, when y'all sat down and talked, he says, okay, you tell me what works for you, here's what works for me, and y'all create a plan. Would have been much better, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Exactly. Now, the reason why I say that is people don't realize how simple a simple conversation of offering what you like, then listening to what she or he likes, and then y'all work out something that works beneficial the best you can for both of you, actually will make things so much easier to deal with. And you said a very important thing when you said, now I can't trust you. Men, especially men, don't realize that once you are out of sight in that relationship, if you do not keep to the things that you set into place, trust is going to be one of the first things that disappears. And so the mother will become more than protective of her child because she does not know or trust who you're going to have around that child if she can't trust you to be respectful to her.
Exactly.
And men don't realize that they put a lot of the undue stress on themselves simply by decisions that they make, which cause the deterioration of trust in their child's mother.
And then we end up being the bad guy for it. Like, you know, we're like, listen, I gave you that chance. You know what I'm saying, to make amends. You know what I'm saying? He did time in prison. My son, I kept that from him. My son never knew that his father was in prison. You know what I'm saying? And like I told him, I said, I can't continue to lie to you when it comes to stuff like that. So now it's either, what are you going to do? You either going to shit or get off the pot, excuse my French.
No cursing, thank you.
I'm sorry.
No problem.
Crap or get off the pot, you know what I'm
saying?
There you go. He's getting older now. He's not some little boy where you can tell him that they're Santa Claus. So you can't do that. So now you got a man up. I can't teach him how to be a man. I can teach him how to respect people. You understand what I'm saying? That's the only thing. Because I'm not a man. I don't know what it is to be a man, but I do know what it is to respect other people.
How's your relationship with his new woman?
We actually, me and her used to be good friends. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, they feel kind of guilty for some reason. Like I said, listen, I don't have no problems with that because I didn't want him. I didn't want him as my man. You know what I'm saying? So if you're feeling some kind of guilt or something because y'all together, that's your story to tell, not mine.
Very true.
I'm not holding that monkey on my back. That's your story.
Got you. Well, Angie, listen, I want to thank you for calling in, and I definitely want to thank you for sharing because, you know, like I said, Chip and I can talk about whatever. I love it when I hear from other folks because people need to understand these are real subjects and these are real things, and most of the problems that go on in a home can actually be fixed right where it started, in the home.
Right.
So I definitely want to thank you for calling in, and I really do hope that you will become a regular listener and tell your friends and folks to tune in and listen to what we do every Thursday from 8 to 10.
Right. Normally on Thursday nights, I usually be in home group Bible study, but it ended, so I had time to call today.
Gotcha. Well, you can always listen to the archives, too, but just always, if you get the chance, definitely come in and check us out. You can always go back to the same link and check out the archives. And definitely tell friends, family, whoever, because we try to do this for everybody. We try to deal with real-life issues and situations that hopefully when we get off the air, folks can go and sit down and have a conversation themselves, as well as when you go back to the archives, you can just come back to the GQ site, which is GQ Palace, blogtalkradio.com/GQ Palace, and you can definitely listen to the archives of our shows. They're there. We also have a blog, which is makingmarriagecoolagain.blogspot.com. So we put some of the shows there so you can go back to listen to them also. So I just want to tell you thank you for coming in and sharing with us tonight.
You're welcome. I'm all about support if I can.
That's what I'm talking about. Thank you so much. That's Angie, everyone. Thank you for calling in. So as you see, guys, you know, this thing is something that is definitely workable. I listen to a lot of drama being a New York City educator, And I hear and I see the damage firsthand with children who are caught in between. And when I say baby mama drama, it's just whichever parent is having an issue. Often there's unresolved issues. Often there's things that was left on the table that wasn't fixed. And now you went on to sometimes not just start a new relationship, start a new family.
Right.
And that's as insulting to someone is that you couldn't fix what's going on with them. And now here you have
right.
another child. Or in my case, because of how filthy I was, I had not only cheated on my former wife, I had actually went out and created a child after we had gotten rid of, after we had aborted a child. And so I was as low as a man could get. And I write about it in my book, From Jiggle Little Jesus. I wasn't happy with my past. I'm not happy with things that I put into motion then. But I can't live that man's life anymore because I let that go. Once I gave my life to the Lord, my life was forward. Which means the only thing I could do is continue to try to be the best father I could to my children, try to be as respectful to the mothers as they would allow me to be, and leave the rest alone. And Tip was tremendous in that transition because she wasn't the, let's go beat up, baby, or whatever you want to do is cool with me, you know, it's, or she's calling her,
What it was, I always believed that it was whatever is in the best interest of the children, because I came from a family where I was raised by a stepfather. My biological father left my life when I was about 3 years old, and he didn't come back into my life until 4 years ago. So I had my stepfather who came into a family where there were already two children involved. So I learned from his example also in how to deal with being in a relationship with a single mother of children. And I used to actually take things from him and think, okay, how would my father deal with this? And I would really sit back and think about it. And that was my thing. What was in the best interest of the children? If I felt that KL was being vengeful or vindictive, I would address it. If I felt the mother of one of his children was being vengeful or vindictive, I would tell him how he should deal with it. And it's funny because I remember we have so many circumstances over 13 years where we had to deal with trying to, I would say, shield the kids so that they didn't see what was going on between the warring adults at the time. And there were circumstances where I would find that when we had the boys, because the boys would come to our house, what was it, every other weekend, and also throughout the week we would have them every other day. So they were at our house as much as they were at their mom's house. And I would find that when they were with us, their mother would call to pick arguments. And not that Kia wanted to be on the phone arguing with her, but it almost seemed it was intentional that she would call when we had the kids. And at one point I said to KO, you're no longer allowed to argue with her when we have the kids, because the kids only hear one side of the argument. They can't hear what she's saying. So anytime that she would call and I could hear the call get escalated, I would say to him, call her back later. And sometimes we as the person on the outside, the supporting partner on the outside, we have to say things that will de-escalate, if that's a word, the situation so that the kids don't have to hear the anger and the fighting all the time.
Also, let me jump in here, too. You know, also, you may have to trade ears. You may have to trade, and I said this when I was working with young men in Manhattan last year who were mandated by the courts for supervised visits with their children, because the drama had gotten to the point that police had to be called and the judge had to get involved. You may have to trade, and I know this sounds rough, you may have to trade 15, 16, 17, 18 years to have the next 60, which means if you're dealing with a significant other who refuses to give ground, refuses to allow you to be that parent in your child's life. Fathers especially, listen and pay attention. If the mother is using the children and keeping you from being the thing that you would like to be, and you're doing the best you can. Make sure that you remain respectful. Make sure that you keep documentation of everything that you do. Make sure that you understand that the courts are not in place to screw you. Courts actually will work with you if you know how to go into court and do the things that are necessary. Now, I'm not saying that just to be saying it. Tiff can tell you and verify she has watched me in court. And all you have to do is make sure you come to the table correctly. And also, mm-hmm. there may be some things that you understand that is not going to be for you, so you might have to step back. And when your kids have to face a bad time, let them face it, but just be there for them in whatever manner you can. Meaning, and I'll give you an example. I was taking the kids early in the relationship. I was taking the kids over to Tiff's house for Christmas. As soon as their mother found out it was going to the new woman's house, bring my kids home.
But you know what's funny? That wasn't early in a relationship. Remember, Kale and I were together almost, I would say, a year before I even met his children, the two boys from his ex-wife, for the first time.
Yeah, I just didn't want to put all that trauma.
Right. We didn't want to create a situation. We were still early in our relationship dating, and we didn't know where it was going. So to invite me into his children's lives at that point wasn't necessary. We were three or four years into our relationship before his children came to my house for the first time. And she had a problem. That was our first Christmas, because we used to always spend Christmas at Kale's family's house with my mother-in-law, with our grandmother and his sisters, and that's how we spent Christmas. And I decided one year, well, I would like to do Christmas at my house with my family. And that's how that started. So go ahead, honey, go ahead.
So what I was saying is, so what I did was, the minute that she said, well, bring my kids home, the kids were in the car with me. We were on our way to Tiff's house. So when she said, bring my kids home, I said, no problem. And the kids said, what? And they started, I said, no problem. I said, guys, I'm sorry. Your mom wants you to come home, I'm bringing you home. And so here, when I started to bring them home, they started to lose their mind. And so son got on the phone, called his mom, and one of the first things she called back, okay, what time are they coming home? Because sometimes they have to see, and I hate to use this expression, who the bad parent is at that time, for them to understand that this is not going to be what they think it is. And sometimes you have to step back and just let it be what it's going to be. Now, there's times on a Sunday when I'm bringing them home, I have called and said, listen, we're out of the festival, we're out at whatever, can I bring them home a little later than I normally would have them home 5 or 6 o'clock on a Sunday evening, because I would bring, I'd get them on Friday afternoon, bring them home Sunday. And I would say where we're at, and as soon as I would say where we're at, no, bring them home now. So I'd say, guys, back up. Mom wants you to come home. They'd be in the car crying. But instead of trying to make excuses, I would simply tell them exactly what I tell them. Your mom said, got to go. Because I gave up those earlier years instead of fighting. I just made the time with my kids as valuable as possible. So when she did try to steal it, she became the bad person in that. Not me trying to make her the bad person. She just became who she was. So as they got older, they started to see through the foolishness, because they started to ask, well, why do we got to come home? Why can't we stay with Dad? Tiffany hasn't done nothing. Well, why can't we stay with Dad and Tiff? And so they started to become the most powerful advocate in the relationship between their mother and I. And so one of the things I found is that now at 21 and 18, it's not even a question. At 21 and 18, mother, there's nothing that can be said. We're good. So sometimes you have to give up things that you have to know in which battles to fight. You have to pick your battles. And some things, it's going to hurt, male or female, it's going to hurt. But if you're doing it in the best interest of your child and you remain constant and you're there, you will find that it'll work out, it'll pay off.
We also had a situation where one of the mothers of another child did not want me involved. How would I say this? She didn't want me involved with the process of Kale meeting his son for the first time.
Yeah, why does this have to be there?
Right. She wanted to know. She didn't want me to meet
him. She wasn't there when we created him.
You know, she didn't want me to meet him. And KL was like, we live together. We're getting married. Like, we were in the process of planning our wedding. And she's on the other end saying that she doesn't want her son to meet me because she doesn't think that that's important right now. I said, well, where does she plan for her son to stay if he comes to New York to see his father and she wants him to stay with his father? You know, it just...
Now, mind you, this is the same mother that for 7 years lied and said my son was living in Virginia when he was actually living 15 minutes away from me in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
She was calling, three-way calling, and saying, well, you know, we're on the phone. And I caught on one night when I heard him say, he thought I hung up the phone, he's like, Mommy, are you still there? And I remember telling Tiff, something doesn't seem right. Why would he ask, Mommy, are you still there? If they're both on the phone, that doesn't make sense.
Right.
And then I had some investigation done, and it turns out that he was going to school 10 minutes away from where I was in Canarsie. He was living in Flatbush. And then you guys from Brooklyn know that's a 10-minute ride at best.
Yeah.
And all this time, and then when the truth
she
came out...
She had us believing the entire time that he was in Virginia. And, you know, under circumstances, it was difficult for us to try to make arrangements to go to Virginia, you know, financial-wise. If we would have known that he was right here in New York, we would have had him here practically every day if we could.
When I would ask about seeing him or bringing him up from Virginia, everything was an issue until we went to Virginia court. And that leads me back to the court system. And the court system is a gigantic fire extinguisher to parent drama. I have now been to court 6 times for the various mothers. If you want to say wins and losses, I have no losses. And the reason why is I don't go to court and waste the court's time unless I'm going there for a reason. And I don't go to court unless I research why I'm going and what I'm asking for. And also I know what the law is before I get there, so I know what I'm asking a judge to consider. And these are other things that I explained to the young men I worked with last year. I'm explaining this to anyone that's listening. Do not waste the court's time on things that you should have attempted to work out on your own. Do not go to court as a vendetta. Do not go to court because you're jealous. Do not go to court because someone told you he is making or she is making more money. Do not go to court for things unless you have facts, unless you have documentation of said facts, and you have a plan of action that requires the court's assistance. Because even though the courts are lopsided against men, what I have realized in my time there in court is that most of these knuckleheads that go there and try to bogart the court or try to treat the court the way they did the mother. Not happening. But if you go down there respectful, you may still lose, but you have it on record what you attempted to do for your child. In time, that record can help you. If your
Absolutely.
Child says, if your child says to you, well, you never came to do this and this and this, you say, no, I attempted visitation. Your mom blocked that. Well, do you remember when we used to meet in Manhattan and I could only see you for an hour? That was because your father said X, Y, and Z, so I can only see you in that limited time. See, the documentation becomes your proof when your child gets to an age where y'all can have real conversations.
Absolutely.
And it's very important that we learn how to use the tools and resources that are out here as parents with the idea of strengthening the relationship with your child. It is not about you. It is not about the significant other. It is about the child. And if you keep it about the child, and you don't go to court to try to punish the other one, but to try to build your child up, you will notice that things will get better. And you have to want it to get better. And also, any opportunity that you have to work with the former, do so. And do not leave your current woman or male out of it. Don't try to handle the situation and they don't know anything about it. And I'm going to tell you right now, guys. Go ahead, baby.
Yeah, honey, good.
So, guys, if you're listening, get close to the radio. And ladies, if you're listening, get close to the radio. Stop sleeping with them. If y'all are not together, stop humping. Stop saying, yo, that's the father of my child, so when I want it, I can get it. Stop saying, that's the mother of my children, so, yo, if I want to go over there, yo, we got something, don't nobody else understand. Well, if y'all got something that everybody don't understand, why ain't y'all together? Stop. No nookie. Once it's done, it confuses the child and it confuses both of you. You wind up creating emotional attachments that are not needed. So when the new dude is coming over and trying to get what you sneaking, you bugging out. Well, it's his right. She's single, right? You didn't want her, right? You didn't want him, right? So first of all, stop that. Because if you do it and your child sees you, you're going to send the wrong messages to your child. He's sitting there thinking y'all getting back together. Y'all not. You just there hitting it. She just there hitting it. Don't do that to your child. Don't put your child in that situation. And it doesn't make the relationship better. It hurts. Because all you're doing is putting a band-aid on the wound, taking it off when you want what you want. Male or female. I have seen females watch this, call in the middle of the night just to see if they can get it, knowing that he's with the new woman. I have seen dudes say, I don't care who she with. I'm going to knock that down anytime I want because that's mine. What is she, a goat?
Right.
You a farmer? You a farmhand? No, she not. Come on. So the idea is if it's about the children, you don't do that. If it's about your children, you're going to find a way to come to the table and say, we may not like it. Hell, we may hate each other. But if it's about these children, I'll be the first person there. If it's about my son, it's about my daughter. I think I find it funny when I hear guys in the park, yo, I'd do anything for my son. So, yo, call his mom. No, I ain't talking to that chick. But you said it's about your son. No, I don't talk to her. I don't talk to him. But you just said you love your son more than anything in life, but you won't talk to him to try to work something out for him? So all I'm saying to anyone listening is that you really, really need to pay attention to what you're putting into the water. It can not only damage the two of you, it can damage your children later on in life. And they may wind up creating the same type of relationship with their children. And I'll give you an example before we go to commercial break. My father has 7 children, 6 different women. So, hey, I'm following right in his footsteps. Actually, my father has 6 children. I've been 7 children, 6 different women, following his footsteps. Didn't have a relationship with his father. I didn't know my father until I was 39 years old. 2 years later, I meet my son, who's 26 years old. My son now has 2 children with 2 different women, and he's going through the situation he's going through. So here, that same individual blood that's been passed back and forth, there it is. Somebody has to put a stop to this, and this is what I'm attempting to do. Your children will go down some of the same roads if you show them the wrong way to do this. But if you make it about them, you start to break those chains, those generational curses, right where they were born, right there. Stop. But listen, it's 9:30. And so we're going to take a 2-song break. That's what we like. We like 2-song. We don't want to be away from you too long. This is Reality and Relationship every Thursday night from 8 to 10. Call-in number is 646-200-3838. And you know what? We love what we do, but we got to take a break. We'll be back in 2 songs. That's my lovely wife, Tiffany Braxton Bell, and I'm KL Belvin. See you in 2 songs.
With conviction in every stroke. Have you heard about that word, black? Big dog, little
Welcome back. You know, every time I hear that wordplay song, I'm reminded that my man down in South Carolina, Damian Faith Walker Brown, you know, he's such a talented brother. If you ever stop and pay attention to the lyrics of that song, he is naming all 13 members of the new poetic anthology that we have through the company that my wife and I run, Braven Publishing. He also includes Tiffany and myself. He also includes our nicknames, Big Dog and Little B, and he worked all that into his rhyme to give a gigantic shout out to the brand new book that we created called Wordplay 2, The Foundation of Soul. And we are definitely big fans of poetry and try to put out quality poetry when we do create poetry. This is actually our second book in our Wordplay series, which is a poetic series that we do yearly, and Faith Walker is incredible.
You know, I have to listen closer to the song because I have to listen closer to the song because I don't hear our nicknames. You know,
towards the end, it's actually Big Dog and Little B. That's Braven Publishing. It's actually towards the end. He actually says it a couple of times towards the end. I'll play it for you later on tonight. And you can actually hear, you know, we go back over the show, I'll actually let you hear because I'm trying to explain to you that it's actually real good. You know, I'm sorry, I'm about to laugh. They're showing on television the big girl that fell down on the stage when she was modeling. So it's actually too hilarious. But anyway.
I'm watch TV while we're talking.
I got ADD. I got to do different things. But no, he's actually incredible. He actually works it in. And, you know, at Braven Publishing with the company that my wife and I own, we try to put out quality works that the whole family can enjoy. This book has no profanity simply because we wanted a poetry book that everyone can get into. It's connected to the theme is the soul. 12 subjects, 13 different poets had to come up with 12 original pieces for each of the subjects. All of the poets range from 10, hail from 10 different states. And we believe that we have come up with one of our best books to date. And so if you have not, stop by www.bravenpublishing.com, pick up a copy. It actually happens to be on sale right now. It's normally $16, but you can get it for $13. You just have to reach out, let me know that you want a copy, and I'll give you a special invoice with the sale price. But with that said, that leads me to something that we're going to be working on this year, honey, and that is your upcoming book.
Yeah.
Which I am thoroughly excited about. So why don't you tell the listeners how your book actually covers some of what we talked about tonight.
Yes, KL actually has lit a fire under me because I've been working on my book, which the title is Stop Doggy Posing, A Woman's Guide to Reclaiming Her Dignity. And it came about because I was so tired of seeing women lose themselves in relationships. And when I say lose themselves, I mean just being put in so many degrading situations where they're willing to share a man, where they're willing to be mentally, physically, emotionally abused just to be in a relationship. And I felt that as women, not only do we deserve better, because I demanded better in my own life, I feel my fellow sisters should demand better. They should feel that they deserve better. And I came up with the idea of Stop Doggy Posing because of the Yukonuba National Championship for dog shows. And it's so funny, I actually had a chance. I used to watch it on TV all the time because I like dogs. We have a Yorkshire Terrier here in the house. But I used to watch it every year when it came on television. But in 2011, actually, I had the opportunity to judge a pageant in Florida. And while I was at the hotel, the Yukonuba National Championship was being held in a convention center, which was attached to the hotel. So we had dogs running around the entire hotel the whole week. It was so amazing. But the dog show reminded me of women who try to do everything they possibly can to be the perfect show dog. And I know women don't like to be compared to dogs. I do know that. But think about it. We sit pretty. We beg sometimes to get attention. And sometimes when we get the perfect treat, whether it's a nice piece of jewelry or flowers, we are the best at being show dogs for our men. And I have to say, from experience, I've been there. So I felt it was time for us to stop doggy posing, hence the title of the book. So I'm working on it. KL has given me a deadline. Is it June, honey?
Yes, it is June, so we can get things working. Another thing that I want to offer is that Tiff's book is so needed for what we are attempting to do as a couple, because when we go out to speak and we have a seminar that I am working on, actually I'm working on a physical book. I've already written a seminar, but we have a physical book that's going to go to the seminar, and it's Making Marriage Cool Again, which is the title of our own movement. We have a website, makingmarriagecoolagain.blogspot.com. We have a Facebook page, Making Marriage Cool Again. And Tiff's book is so important to this movement, because when folks hear us speak and when they read the Ebony article and they read from Gigolo to Jesus, it all comes back to her with, how did you deal with his cheating? How do you deal with his children? How do you deal with him being so flirtatious? How did you let him? How did you do whatever? So in the title, regaining your dignity, from doggy posing to regaining your dignity, is because Tiff is going to explain that. Tiff is going to explain
Absolutely.
That it had nothing to do with me. It had to do with her being able to see me and saying, whatever he dealing with, he dealing with. It's not my issue, except that it's hurting the relationship. Tiff didn't make my problems her problems per se, where she started to look in the mirror and started to beat herself up. Tiff actually saved my life because she held her ground and kept her dignity in check, and she allowed the Lord to become her shield to the foolishness that I was trying to put into the world. So when it came time for me to get myself right, she told me, make a choice. God or me or the hoes in the street. That's it.
Right.
But if she had been one of those women that's like that, lowers herself or give away her dignity, well, I would have gobbled up like I have been doing every other woman and every other thing in my past, in my self-destructive past. So her book would be the perfect accompaniment to From Gigolo to Jesus, because once you read how I was able to transform from misogynistic whore to loving husband and man of God, and then she actually explains you how she was able to hold her ground, now the Making Marriage Cool Again seminar gives you enough to at least go back into your home and fight to regain your relationship if it's worth fighting for. See, we're in this to try to help others. We're not in this to make money, because God knows we ain't making it. But we're in this to try to help others. And no, I'm being honest. Listen, we're in this to make money. We're not making any major money. But we know that in time, the Lord will open up those doors and we'll make what's needed. We'll make enough. We haven't missed any meals. The Lord knows I need to miss a couple because I need to become medium dog instead of big dog. But we know that we have something to give other relationships. We know we have something that can heal other problems that are out there. Well, we're trying to put that down on paper. And this is why I'm pushing Tiff, because this should have been done, because I know women need to hear from her. I have watched women come to her in tears. Please help me, because I don't know how to deal with my husband. Now, they'll ask me, what can I say to the husband? And I'll give them some advice. I have watched them turn to Tiff. Girl, tell me how you did it. Tell me how you're doing it. I have seen older women come over and say, that's who you need to speak to because she can help you. I've watched it go from two people talking to six, seven people gathered around Tiff crying and praying.
And, you know, it's not easy, but it's not as difficult as people make it out to seem either. And I'm going to take the readers step by step on how that they can rebuild what they need to rebuild inside of them. Because sometimes I think we go into relationships broken, and we go from one relationship to another relationship without repairing what's affecting us. And unfortunately, it doesn't help going into another relationship when you're not whole. So I definitely want to address those issues that we have. And it's coming from my own experience. I think sometimes when people hear, oh, stop doggy posing, they feel that you're judging. I'm not judging because I've been there. I didn't come out the womb with a husband at my beck and call. I had to learn by being in a relationship, by being emotionally abused, that it was time to take me back. So I learned to stop doggy posing. Honey,
no
what I wanted to
Steve Harvey. One second, no disrespect to Steve Harvey. And I understand that to think like a man but act like a woman or whatever it's called. Listen, and I saw the movie and I haven't read the book. No disrespect to him because I understand what he was attempting to do in trying to help women. I know tons of women bought it. The book was on the New York Times bestseller list. But God knows how many weeks. It might even still be there. Not sure. But the reason why I know Tiff's book will help save lives is because sometimes you got to be where people were or are or will be from their point of view. A woman can't raise a man, but she can, like the woman said earlier, and I agree with that, but she can raise a good citizen. But a man has to help him polish those corners to become a man. But a woman can help another woman. A woman can talk about the feelings that's going on at certain times that a man just can't tap into. A man can't say what a woman's feeling in certain parts of her body, what she's feeling in her heart, what she's feeling during those times of the month and how that affects the relationship. All of that plays into decision-making that makes for good, bad relationships as well as past and present and future relationships. And so from Tiff coming from a point of view with everything that she's had to deal with, as a stepmom, as a person in a broken relationship, I mean, and coming from a dysfunctional home at home at times and dealing with stepfathers, dealing with her own biological father, dealing with situations that are going on now and all of that, and then being able to put it into a book for others, that's something that you need to curl up and read. I'm telling you.
So look for it. It's June. End of June.
June is going to be done. It'll be ready for the fall. We're looking for possibly a September release. We're going to take July and August to get things together. We're going to start heavy promotion in the next month or two, start working on the cover. It might even be held, and we might even push it back to the winter just when it's ready to be released. But I want it done by the end of the summer so we can decide which is going to be the best way of releasing it. So, but it'll be done by September and should be ready by that time. We'll have the official release date. But over the next 3, 4, 5 months, you're going to hear us talk about it. We're going to start working on the cover. And the cover idea that Tiff has is incredible. If we pull it off, you're really going to be enamored with the cover. It's going to make you purchase it just looking at the cover. And everything that we do is tastefully done. We don't do anything trashy. Everything is done with the idea of what the book is about going into the cover. So it's not just, ooh, and we're not into the naked bodies, and so there ain't going to be no boobies and no booty hanging out on our covers. That's not what we do, because it's about the interior of our work, and the interior of our work fits the relationship stuff that we do. Hold on 1 second, Tiff. We have Anne-Marie on the phone.
Anne-Marie.
Got in towards the end of the show. So Anne-Marie, are you there?
Yes, hello.
Hi,
Emery.
How are you?
Hi, good night, Kayla and Tiffany. I'm good. How are you guys?
Great.
We're good. Okay. I think I know who this is.
Yes, you do. But, you know, yes, I good evening. I was kind of in and out, but, you know, I pretty much got a grasp of the mama drama topic. So I just had an input, but it's funny because after I called, not call, but when I tapped in to give my response, you pretty much summed up what I was going to say, which
okay.
was, and I just have to say that I agree with you that we have to start somewhere. Like, this is like the relationship aspect of how parents are raising their kids is such a drastic epidemic. Like, it's just continuing generation after generation because nobody is stopping it. You know, it's like, and then it goes into what you were just saying too. I think Tiff was saying it about we're broken and we're going into other relationships. So all
yes.
of that just really intertwines. It's like, you know, I'm a parent, and let's say I'm married, it doesn't work out with my husband, I go pick up somebody else. You know what I mean? I'm not recovered from that relationship, and then now I and this other person is raising my child, but then
right.
this other person wasn't even the right person, and it's just a, you know, the breakdown just started right there. You know, because
right.
from the time it didn't work with the first person, to me, and Tiff, I'm just really looking forward to read your book. It's like, to me, from the time it didn't work with the first relationship, that's where you have to step back and step, hold up. You know, just get in, tap into yourself before you move on, because then you have a child involved.
Right.
You understand? And this
Definitely.
First relationship didn't work, and the child was there, so why run into something else? You know what I mean? If it's not going to be productive. Of course, you know, the goal, we're not, I want to say that. I'm not saying, and I know you guys not saying, oh, it's done and over with. You can't have a successful relationship, you know, after one is not, one didn't work out. You can, but what we see is happening a lot of times, it's not, because a lot of us are not taking the time to recover or to
right.
see what we could do better in a new relationship.
Absolutely.
You understand? Yeah. You
yes.
know, like, what was
Absolutely.
The mistakes in our first relationship that we
mm-hmm.
could correct? We're just brushing it to the side, sweeping it under the rug, and just moving on. And
right.
at the end of the day, I really want to agree with you guys that it's about the kids, because I always said it, because I'm the youngest. No, I'm the second of four. My siblings are younger than me. Children
mm-hmm.
grow up. They grow
mm-hmm.
up. They don't stay babies forever. And they're going to
yes.
see what you're doing, and then it will come a point where they're going to catch on
mm-hmm.
to the lie that the family been living. You understand? Or to the deceit
right.
that's going on. They're going to catch on, and then it's two things happen. Either they continue that in their life, and we continue a downfall, or they pick up and, you know, they learn from it. And, like, you know, you guys are saying, they get something positive out of it, and they're able to have good, healthy relationships when they're faced with it.
Oh, well, I think one of the things, and I definitely thank you for calling in, Amory, and this is Amory who I work with, by the way, who
yes.
is one of the wonderful coworkers. So I definitely appreciate you calling in.
Same
is
to you, yes.
I think in any situation, when there are unresolved issues, whether it's relationships, personal issues, work-related issues, I don't care what it is, if it's not dealt with, it's
right.
going to resurface somewhere in the new relationship, and it's always going to be detrimental to something. And when you have children involved, now you're talking about multiple personalities, whether it's mom, child, and then if you have children, you're
right.
talking about multiple personalities, because now you're dealing with mother, father, whichever one is the caregiver, each child's personality, and then having to deal with the damage that has been done to each individual person in the
yeah.
household. So you could have
mm-hmm.
mom angry with you, child A angry, but child B and C loving you, which now causes a problem between the children. So
right.
they're fighting because one hates you, one loves you.
Mm-hmm.
Mom is now frustrated because she's trying to do the best she can to shield the children from you, but they're fighting because of you. And if you're not actually trying to make this work, you're actually adding to it, that when those kids get older, you don't know how much of the negativity they're going to pack down inside themselves,
right.
which then will express itself when they start to date.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what you're seeing with the children that we deal with in school, and what you're seeing
mm-hmm.
in today's society
yeah.
is that because people are not dealing with past issues,
they're
that's wondering
right.
why their relationships are being destroyed internally. And it really has nothing to do with the outside forces. They were doomed before they even
mm-hmm.
meant to be anything.
Not right.
So
yeah.
I definitely appreciate you calling in, and you got
Thank
it
you
right
guys.
To the
yeah.
tail end. And I will see you at work tomorrow. And
yes.
thank you so much.
Yes.
And actually, listen, we hope that you'll become a regular. Please call,
It was awesome topic. Yes. Nice speaking to you guys. Good show.
Thank
positive.
Thank you
keep
for
it
calling
up.
In.
You're welcome.
And spread the news. Spread the news. Tell folks we're here every Thursday, 8 to 10, where they can find us.
Will do. All right. Good night.
Thank you so much. That's Anne Marie, everyone. But, you know, Tiff, like I said, I know your book is going to be a tremendous help to women because I honestly believe as a male who was out there doing the things that I had done, self-esteem and a lot of women who claim to have it at a high level is shaky.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
There are more women with self-esteem on a cliff than it is women that have it all together. And I think this so-called male shortage is the fact that some women have just kind of said, you know what, I'm done. And we've even seen an increase of women who said, you know, I'm done so bad, I'm just going to start dating women because I'm so done. Either way, I believe that your book is going to help.
Oh, yes.
Because I definitely know that that folks need to hear that. So I definitely will tell you that you better keep writing and get it done.
I will. I'm on top of it. I have a game plan, and I've started writing, and it will definitely be done. I'm looking forward to having it out there, definitely.
Well, it is 10 o'clock, and we have reached that end, guys. It's funny how quick the 2 hours go by.
Yeah.
We definitely wanted to say thank you to the callers. Who was the first call? I forgot the young lady's name. It was... let me go back and look. I want to make sure I give her proper credit. Young lady was Angie, I think it was. Yeah, shout out to Angie who called in. And Emery, you still on the phone with us, right, Emery?
I think she's gone.
Oh, okay, I think she's gone. Okay, but shout out to Emery who called in. Angie and Emery had some very valid points and really, you know, stress what we're trying to do. We're trying to give individuals an opportunity to understand what we're doing. And I always love when callers call in because folks need to know it's not just Tiff and I saying this. It's that there's folks out there, that really need what we're trying to put together, and we're trying to do it for them. We're trying
they
to give them.
They're not going through it alone.
Exactly.
Other people are experiencing
exactly.
it. And sharing how we're dealing with the circumstances in our lives help also. And it's funny because, you know, especially in the African-American community, no one wants to tell their business. But sometimes you need to share something because in order to know how to get through it. If you keep it to yourself, how do you learn?
Exactly. And
to me, it's very important for us to start communicating with each other so that we have an understanding that there are other people dealing with some of the things that we're dealing with.
And I want folks to make sure that they flood the lines, make sure that you send your emails to info@ravenpublishing.com and say, we want Stop Doggy Posing, A Woman's Guide to Regaining Her Dignity by Tiffany Braxton. We want it done. We want it. We want to know when the release date is coming. Oh, all right, we were getting ready to close the show, but we have one more caller, so we're going to, you know what, we're going to backtrack a little bit. Before we close the show, we're going to have Rachel come in, and Rachel's going to be our final caller of the night, because we'll mess around and be talking about this till like 1 o'clock in the morning. Rachel, are you there?
I am here. Good evening.
Hi, Rachel. How are you?
Under the wire. How are we doing tonight, Rachel?
Hi. I'm good. I'm just passing through to show some love to you two and tell you how much I adore this show. I love it. I get so much out of you guys' show.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. We definitely appreciate it. So did you get a chance to listen to what we were talking about tonight, Rach?
I heard bits and pieces. Yes, I did.
Okay, so before we let you go, let me ask you a question. With just any insight on baby mama drama, anything that you'd like to share with the listeners of what you would like to just tell folks to the positive of what they can do to deal with it or what you know, what's your opinion on it in a positive way?
Pray on it.
True.
You know what? You can never go wrong with prayer.
Exactly. Pray on it. Just stay prayerful, stay believing, and stay, you know, honest with yourself first and foremost, and know yourself, and know your partner, and know your ex-partner, and know what you have to do. Just stay calm and collected at all times, and just do what you have to do.
You know, Rachel, you just mentioned something that we didn't talk about, and we'll definitely talk about in a future show. We're going to talk about the role that faith plays in relationships, because Tiff and I always mention that we are a faith-based couple, and it's actually part of our seminar that we do, is that we explain that every couple should have an impartial referee, and ours is the Lord. Ours is the Bible. And, you know, if we use the Bible as that tool for us that grounds both of us, so when one of us is getting sideways, if it's not written in that book, and we bring ourselves back to center and realize that, you know, we're getting away from what we said we founded our relationship on. So the fact that you ended the show with saying someone to pray, that's so important. And I'm actually so glad that you called in to say that, because a lot of folks don't realize the power of prayer at least calms things down in yourself. So when you mention know yourself, taking it to someone, taking it to the Lord, finding your quiet place, whether it's a closet, whether it's the bathroom, whether it's on your bed, your knees, wherever, taking that moment to meditate, to get into that connection with your faith, get into the connection with the Lord, will help douse so many fires inside of you that when you're dealing with your significant other, it'll be a little easier. Because I know every time I used to see a text with my ex-wife's phone number, if I saw the phone light up with her number, I knew it was something there. I used to get this nasty feeling, oh, God, what is it now? And then get the phone, it was whatever. But one of the things I remember doing is I remember going in the mirror one day, and I looked in the mirror and I said, Lord, I'm letting this go. I'm giving it to you. I can't do this no more. I am not going to allow her to have that type of control over my life to where I start to feel sideways just having her call. And one of the things that came to my spirit was silence. It was learn to get quiet when you're around her. And that's what I would do. When I would show up on Fridays, I'm here to pick up the boys. When she get into her rant, I'll say, I'll be out in the car waiting. I didn't go into our house anymore. I would sit in the car, and she would have the boys clean the steps, the yard, the roof, the gutters, down the block, shovel snow that wasn't there, whatever. And I would sit right there and wait for them to get finished calmly, quietly. Sometimes it might take an extra hour, and she would only do it because it was my time to pick them up. But I never said anything because I knew this is what she wanted me to get into. And once I started becoming more silent, and once I had released all that negative out and let the Lord take it, she didn't know what to do, so she kind of just left me alone. And everything started to die down because my boys started to become the advocates. My boys started to speak for me. Mom, you only make us do this because Daddy's here. Mom, you never tell us to sweep this stuff. Mom, you never tell us, why are you doing this because Daddy's here? And I didn't have to say anything. I wasn't prompting them to say it.
The kids are always watching.
Yeah. So it's very important that you, when you say prayer, because people don't realize that that's also a part of this too. Your faith can play a powerful role in balancing out what's going on in the new relationship as well as the old. If you didn't know the Lord, or you didn't know your own faith, whatever your religious background is, I don't care if you're Muslim, Hindu, Christian, whatever, if you didn't know your faith in the previous relationship and now you do, anchor to that. Don't feel bad that now you've become a better individual to yourself, and the former doesn't like it. Okay, anchor yourself.
Very true.
Yeah.
Be that new individual because you want your children to respect that anyway.
Right.
And that's a big thing. So I definitely appreciate you calling, and we definitely appreciate the love and support. Please tell other folks to tune in and listen to us. Even you can come back and listen to the archives, because we're really trying to offer some type of help to those that are listening and those that, you know, need us. So this is what we do.
Yes, sir. You definitely have helped me.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, too. Good night.
Have a good night. That's Rachel, everyone. Thank you, Rachel, for calling in. Wow. You know, listen, guys, this is what we do. And the callers, you know, that makes us feel great when the callers call in and they have such powerful things to say, because Tiff and I want to try to help. And I know y'all say, well, Tiff, don't say too much. That's what
I say enough.
And you know what's funny is y'all should hear how we not on the air. But anyway.
Don't make it sound like that.
But that's part of how we are, is that I'm the chirpy one. I'm the one that runs off with the mouth. But when Tiff does speak, this is why I keep telling y'all, stop doggy posing, A Woman's Guide to Regaining Her Dignity. Go to her page right now, author Tiffany Braxton Belvin. Join her author's page on Facebook, author Tiffany Braxton Belvin. Blow her page up. Say, where's Stop Doggy Posing? Where's Stop Doggy Posing? I want Stop Doggy Posing. Stop playing. Give me Stop Doggy. Demand it. Because I'm telling you, when she sits down, the cover alone, you're going to love this book. But when she gives you her insight, how she was able to deal with an animal like me and was able to hold her ground to a man who has been with over 300 women and she knows about it. A man that created 6 children with 5 different women and she knows about it. A man that she caught cheating 3 times and was able to corral his behind and get him in order. So if you want to know how she was able to do all that, you've got to read this book. Because sometimes, let me tell you something. I love my wife to death. There's nothing I wouldn't do for her. I'm on Facebook now, begging for dollars to try to get her to Atlanta because I want her to have her dreams fulfilled. And I didn't get this way by myself. I got this way because of God, and I got this way because of my wife. Now, I'm not saying that every man is going to fall down right like I did, but I guarantee you if you take the right tools, you can help create the right situation for yourself within whatever that situation is. And so Tiff may not have a whole lot to say, and I may run my mouth a lot, but I'm going to tell you something. When you read her words in her book and you really get to feel her, and I won't be nowhere around this one, you're going to share this with other folks. You're going to sit around and say, girl, you need to read this. Girl, she understands. Girl, I don't know if I could have did that. Girl, I'd have threw hot grits on him. Girl, I'd have killed him in his sleep. And don't think Tiff didn't do it. I mean, sure, she didn't kill me. Don't think she didn't think about doing it. So all I'm saying is anybody listening, please, definitely. And share all this information with other folks. Please don't keep it to yourself. What we do is for everyone because we really want to see other folks healed and helpful to what we do. So with that said, it is time to call it a night. Rachel, you still on the line with us?
Here, yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear
Hello?
You. So Rachel, got you. You're gonna close out the show with us tonight too, Rachel. So we're gonna go around the cipher. We're gonna go around the cipher this way. Rachel, say your good nights to everyone listening. Give them a little something to say good night to, and then just offer your good nights.
Good night, everybody. Also, listen to my show on Wednesday nights. It's called Team Squad. Yes, with
me. Yeah, Rachel, Team Squad. Yeah, hold on. Tell them again, Rachel.
Rachel, I am co-host of Wednesday's show, Love Fantasy with the Diva Squad with T. Our show airs from 7 to 9 on Wednesday night. Listen, check us out.
So you know what, where's T at? Where is T at?
I don't know where she is right now. We're going to be representing.
I got to come by Wednesday night. Yes. tune in on Wednesday because GQ Palace Radio has every night locked up except for Saturday, and I'm sure that'll change too. There's shows on every night. The Diva Squad is on Wednesday. Tremendous show. Those young ladies do their thing. I did get the chance to pop on one night and listen to them because I know Tip and I are running around here crazy, but when I can, I try to tune in and listen. They have some great topics. They keep it funky. You really need to tune in and listen. And those ladies get it in. So Wednesday night, same station, same phone number. So you ain't got to change anything. Just come right back like you did for our show and tune in and show them some love also. Make sure you do the same things. Call in, let them know that you're listening. Give them that type of love that they need. Baby? Sis?
Yes, love. I'm
go ahead, doll. You want to give me the Russell Simmons tonight, too?
You know, I've been trying not to do that, but tonight's topic, it was definitely something that we needed to discuss because we hear a lot with the baby mama drama, the baby daddy drama, and how to deal with it. And I just think the being a person on the outside, again, know what your role is. Your role is not to become a third parent. Your role is basically supportive. And I mean supportive to everyone, supportive to your partner, supportive to the kids,
even supportive to the other parents when they don't know you're being supportive, if that makes sense. Because you still have to make sure that your partner is making the right decision within the relationship with his children and with his children's mother that's in the best interest of the children. So just know what your role is as that partner.
Well, I'm going to keep it brief. I'm simply going to say don't bring the issues from the previous relationship to your new one. Fix that first. Heal that first. Have a working plan with that mother, father, and your children. Your children deserve it. Even if you two can't get along, have something in place that benefits the kids. Keep the kids at the center of everything that you do, and if you do so, it'll heal a lot that can go on between the two of you. Don't bring the new person into a situation that you haven't dealt with. It is a lot of weight. I was lucky enough to find a woman that was able to deal with all the foolishness, but I know that there's a lot of men or women that would have not even thought about dealing with me or someone like me in my circumstances. Don't put all your hopes into someone else's basket and then beg them to carry it for you. Fix yourself, fix them, pray about it, as Rachel said, because I'm a big believer in that, and watch how the Lord works if you really want to fix things, and it'll definitely fix itself. And then I also want to say thank you to everyone listening tonight for, if you're not doing it, there's no reason to do this if you're not listening. And again, none of this is possible without the Lord. So thank you for tuning in tonight. Good night. God bless.
Good night.
You know I love you, right?
Love you too.
Ain't nobody got what we got.
No, no. What I mean with my baby.
Yes. Tear built from the concrete, baby. Don't get no better than this.
Love to you.
Put you on a rocket, fly. Keep on loving till we touch the sky.